no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot round, Bears 7, hot round.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 170 of Hogue and Johns. It's cut week.
Back in the studio.
We are. We're back. We're sort of almost in our regular season routine. Back in our studio. It's not really a real studio. It's really my office.
It's your office with the Wisconsin decorations.
And we have games to pick this week, college games, which I know Johnsy's just thrilled with.
He threw this upon me like 5 seconds ago. Hey, we're going to pick some games this week. Oh, which ones? We'll get to it.
Are you any less prepared than you usually are?
No.
Does it make a difference?
No. I watch college football. Just don't get into it like the NFL.
Right. This is episode 170. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Our producer is Joe Romano. He's with us today. What's up, Joey?
Yo, what's good? How we doing, fellas?
We have games to pick. We have a roster to cut down.
To build.
Yes.
Not cut down, to build.
To build a roster? Okay. You can follow Joe at Joey Joe Rowe. He's fresh off a Steve Cochran show, straight into the studio to do this show. He's working just as hard as everybody else.
Highly caffeinated and passionate.
That's right. That's what we all are right now. And he has voicemails to play because we had the voicemail line open on Saturday. And man, if they're as heated as sports radio has been the last few days and newspapers just on fire.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Speaking of cut list, man, that was tough finding, a solid amount of, not everybody can make the list. That's all I'm saying. Not everybody can make it.
How many swear words did you have to bleep?
No, it was actually pretty clean this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
That's because of the noon game. Usually the night games, that's when people are liquored up more,
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when we have the tough one.
I saw some very drunk fans, though, at that preseason game. Like stumbling and slurring.
And that was just in the press box.
Yeah. yes, that is true. Yeah. No. But seriously.
Yeah.
So people were having fun.
Well, it's a hot day. You don't really have to worry about the...
You get Sunday to recover?
Right. You don't have to go to work the next day?
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Okay. The weird thing... By the way, read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Please subscribe, rate, review. Search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, the whole deal. We'll get to voicemails in a second. I feel like the fans are less upset about the starters not playing than the media.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was a good portion of fans that were upset.
I would say the overwhelming reaction I received on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, was, okay, we're going to trust Matt Nagy on this one.
Like people thought it through a little bit?
Yeah. Whereas I thought that after we saw what happened Saturday, how the game actually played out, the way Matt Nagy defended it so well after the game, that we would see like, okay, I sort of understand it now.
And the twos played quite well against the Chiefs ones. The initial outrage I got, I thought it was just related to everybody wanting to see Mitch Trubisky. I wanted to see Mitch Trubisky play a little bit, but I understood the logic behind Nagy's decision.
I still think that's rooted in a lot of these people who are so upset about it.
They just wanted to watch him play.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Maybe even some media members too.
Yes. Exactly. But I was surprised Monday morning to turn on the radio and still hear...
Still going. Still on
still
fire.
Hear that many people upset about this. It's the preseason. Honestly, can you name a single thing that has happened in a third preseason game over the last like decade?
Yes, Cam Meredith tearing his ACL and MCL.
That's the only thing people can remember.
And I actually do remember Marshawn Lynch running over Shea McClellan into the end zone.
Oh yeah,
it's a few years ago.
That's the second thing I go to. Is I do vividly remember the game in Seattle when they got crushed in Mark Trestman's last year, yep. And it was like that was really the first sign that oh man.
yeah, maybe something bad is coming.
Maybe something bad's coming. But it's always negative things. It's not like, I mean, was there a third preseason game where all of a sudden it was clicking for Kyle Orton? And you're like, oh, and thank God he played in that game because it started clicking.
People remember the Cam Meredith injury, but people forget that Mike Glennon was actually okay in that game. He was.
Which meant nothing.
Exactly.
Meant nothing. I cannot see us sitting here a month from now, a couple weeks into the season, saying, oh, man, if they had only played in the third preseason game.
I don't get the logic that 25 or 30 snaps was going to change people's opinions about week one.
I mean, that's what I'm struggling with the most.
Like, you were going to pick the Bears over the Packers if Trubisky completed 10 of 12 passes for 115 yards and a touchdown. Those passes against a Chiefs defense that wasn't going to show much, that was going to change your opinion about week one. I don't buy it. I don't think they can be defined by week one, too. Even if they lose by two touchdowns, they can still get better throughout the season, people. There's 15 more games left. Just saying.
And I'm not trying to argue that Mitch getting the work wouldn't have helped him. No, I mean,
I get it.
Any practice is good practice. I'm fine with that. But when I start laying out risk-reward and have covered so many meaningless preseason games, I mean, I think the whole thing is a farce, to be honest with you. I think the whole thing is ridiculous. It's a money grab.
That's a different conversation.
But that's the only reason why these games are even getting played.
Oh, it's a complete money grab. It doesn't, yes.
I'm not saying they should do this, but I think that they could have no preseason games, start week one, and everybody's fine.
I get that some fans are upset because they had tickets to that game, but I feel bad for you in general a little bit because you had tickets to a preseason game. I don't know what you were expecting to begin with, even if the starters were playing. It could have been only a series. It could have been like the Raiders, who played their starters for only a series. Derek Carr left almost immediately upon taking the field. So I get some angst there. I guess my final conclusion on the whole thing, and I think a lot of it is rooted in Mitch Trubisky. Yes, you need snaps. I get it. But if you're not going all in with all your starters, if you're not playing the entire first half and then some with Kyle Long and Allen Robinson, guys you have closely monitored for various reasons, then why have Trubisky out there for that long? It's either all in with all the starters or not. So I get the angst over not playing Trubisky. He needs the snaps. But you don't want him throwing to guys who may or may not be part of the week one game plan, if you get my point.
I also, I don't want to spend the whole podcast on this, so we'll wrap it up. We'll get to the voicemails here. But the last thing I want to say is there's an element that I think is as much a reason for what Nagy did than just staying healthy that is not getting talked about enough. I really, really think they feel like part of the best chance they have to win week one is to hide as much of this as possible. If you go out there and you put them in there, and we sort of briefly touched on this in the post game, and I asked Nagy about it, and he kind of dodged the question of all the things he didn't answer directly. But if Mitch Trubisky is going to play a whole half or into the third quarter, you can't just have 30 dummy plays.
Yeah.
Some of those plays
are meaningless. It makes the whole thing even more meaningless.
What I was getting at is like, it's like 50-50. You know, 50%, Nagy wouldn't have gone out there running the real offense the whole time, which makes it even more pointless for Trubisky to be out there. But also, to some extent, he would have had to run some of it because you can't just have a whole fake playbook, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're still going to be showing.
Well, Chase Daniel, this show, some of those stuff that they were sure playing, those are real Bears plays.
So, I just think that had a lot to do with this too. You know,
gamemanship.
A lot.
Do you remember the year where the Bears opened up at Indianapolis, and I think that was a Sunday Night Football game too? And the first time they showed the double A gap, you know, Briggs and Urlacher right up in Peyton Manning's face. And I think, you know, like you're saying, this is an opportunity to, you know, be as vanilla as possible going into a game against your rival, against a division opponent, and not show them anything. What's the point of having Trubisky out there showing them even one single play that Green Bay can show in the film room heading into game week?
You did the same thing. The Packers. I get that, you know, I made that reference on Twitter. Hey, the Packers don't seem to care much about the dress rehearsal either. And everyone's like, oh, they got Aaron Rodgers. I get that. They also have a new offensive coordinator. I get he was there before, but they've had a lot of back and forth with their play callers. They also have a new defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, who has been out of the league for 2 years. Did some consulting work with the Seahawks, and he's got a lot of new pieces to work with on that defense. So they've also abided by the gamemanship rules here.
Sure, I think that they had a lot to do with it. Obviously, you want to protect your starters, but their goal right now is to beat the Packers Week 1. And I think that what happened Saturday has a lot to do with that. So,
well, then it goes back to the whole injury thing, too. You have a better chance of beating the Packers Week 1 if you're fully stocked with your best players.
You want to go to Lambeau with the most talent possible and the best game plan possible.
Yeah.
And I think that what, in both of those regards, what unfolded Saturday, the decision that was made, has a lot to do with that.
What no one else is thinking about, too, is that the Bears defense probably needed a little bit rest. They're experienced. They're veterans. The Trubisky argument's a completely different thing from the defense. Guys like Danny Trevathan could use that rest. Guys like Sam Acho, you're going to need more with Leonard Floyd ailing more. He needs that rest. You need Akeem Hicks, who's dealing with a knee issue of some sort right now. These guys need to be fully prepared for Week 1 against Aaron Rodgers. And they have a history of relative success. Vic Fangio has a history of success against Aaron Rodgers. So that's something to consider as well.
Yeah, Nagy admitted after the game that some of those guys are tired.
Yeah.
And so you got to get them ready here. Less than 2 weeks until the season opener at Lambeau Field. All right. Well, we had the voicemail line open Saturday, and this was a new addition to the podcast. Last year, it was a great success. Our great producer, Joe Romano, behind this, taking your voicemails, putting them all together, and we'll be doing this throughout the season again this year. Here's your first chance, though, for a preseason version of our voicemail line.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Cole from Chicago. I'm just calling to let you know that Matt Nagy is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Super Bowl, Super Bears.
Spencer from Sacramento. John Fox played as starters every year, and that team was hot trash, so really not even relevant. Also, Javon Wims. Great pick. He would have been number one receiver on the Bears last season. Good job, Ryan Pace.
Todd Kunitz in Southern California, Bears defense and Twitter. Yeah, I do have a question about Wims. He, to me, solidified his spot on the team, but you know what they did with Gentry last year that worries me, that they're going to try and put him on the practice squad, and somebody for sure, after seeing his display today, is going to steal him. Your thoughts?
Sam out in Osceola, Indiana. I have no problem with Matt Nagy sitting the starters. It's really going to be telling how they play in Week 1, though, if it mattered or not. If they come out flat, everyone's going to look back at this and say he was an idiot. If they play well and stay with the Packers, it's all going to be fine, and no one's even going to give it a second thought. September 9th can't get here soon enough. Rock on, guys.
Trey Busy from the Bears Barroom. You guys have one of the best podcasts in Chicago. But I just want to say Javon Wims, 7th-round pick. I have no idea how he went that far back in the draft, but that guy's going to be special. He needs to see the field a lot this season.
Robin Granite City here. I got to say, I was a little nervous about not having any of the guys play in the third preseason game. That said, how about those Bears? Bears second string going upside down the heads of the KC Chiefs. Bear down. Go Bears.
If the Bears only keep 5 wide receivers, then Javon Wims absolutely deserves to be that 5th guy, despite Josh Bellamy's experience. experience in special teams.
Mike from Rockford, Illinois. A little concerning, the second string quarterback seems almost better, or if not the same, as Mitch Trubisky. Mitch has thrown interceptions and that type of thing since he's been out in preseason. The second string quarterback, though, has not. He's been perfect. And if you look at his QB rating, it's great.
Hey there, my name is Brandon. I feel that Ryan Nall has showed more than Smoke Mizell has in the run game, and just was wondering why he wasn't getting as many snaps.
Tony from West Loop, love this podcast. Why are the Bears allowing the Fighting Illini to play a pretty meaningless game against South Florida 2 days before the home opener? Thanks. Keep doing what you're doing.
Bobby Dabrowski here. How you doing? Hokey Cat, John Deepin, Joey Dickity, Joe Rojo. Hey, I've been up about 83 hours here celebrating the big W. If Mike Lennon can make the Hall of Fame, then Chase Daniel is on no doubt first ballot. Honest question, do you think that the Bears 2018 backups could win the NFC North? I'd say 50-50, maybe 60-40, Yeah, just weigh in, all right? I'll hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks a lot, kids. Bye.
It was more positive than I thought it would be.
I told you, people are on board with this.
Yeah, yeah. I just get some angry people on my Twitter stream.
Good to hear from our guy, Bob Dabrowski, there.
Yes, yes. We got to meet him at camp.
We did?
Yeah.
We did, and I've been looking forward to voicemails to hear...
Since then, yes.
Get his voice back on the pod. I also, the one I don't agree with is, like, I don't think that week one is really going to have to do with the decision to not play the starters all that much. Like, I agree with Nagy on that one. They win, it's not because they sat.
Oh,
they
lose. Like, I don't think it goes back to my point, like, we're 25 or 30 snaps, we're going to change people's opinions and make them pick the Bears in week one. No.
Right.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Now, if they come out, and I think the caller... The way he put it was flat. If they come out flat and that's sustained for maybe the whole first half and they look completely lost on, like if they looked unprepared on offense in week one, then people will make that argument. Yeah, and maybe there'll be some truth to that. Let me put it this way though. We've been at practice. I haven't been there every single day with White Sox duties now, but for the most part, I've been there. I've seen the majority of practices.
You've been there more than others, yes.
You've seen the majority of practices.
I've seen about 90%, yes.
Let's put it this way. We've seen more than a lot of these people that are so upset about this, okay? I would be shocked if they come out and look completely unprepared in week one.
So you're talking about like timeouts, guys lining up in the wrong spots?
Correct. You penalties.
Know, yes, penalties.
There's going to be some of that. It's week one. There's always some sloppiness, and it is a new offense, and Mitch isn't going to make every single right decision. It's going to take some time.
What type of penalties are you talking about? Like false starts, illegal formations, that type of stuff. Okay. The first 10, 15 plays are going to be scripted.
Right.
So they should come out with some juice. And you know what, though? It's a Sunday night football game against the Packers at Lambeau Field. They should have some juice running through their bones. Getting them up for that game is not going to be difficult for Matt Nagy. None whatsoever. John Fox got those guys up for games like that.
Yeah.
Homecoming games. Remember that? Brett Favre's homecoming?
I would look back on what happened in Denver, the clicking with Trey Burton. There were some subtle signs there that what they've been working on is going to work in games, okay? I just don't think these 25 snaps are going to matter. All right.
And even if they lost to the Packers, they could very well beat the Seahawks. Overrated team in my book. You know how I thought the Giants were overrated last year? I'm not completely predicting the same, but the Seahawks are not that good.
I agree.
Cardinals?
I don't think the Bears'
Buccaneers,
first month is that hard.
They could honestly lose their first game, then win three in a row.
I've been saying this for a while. I don't think the schedule's that hard to start the year. It gets tougher as we go along, but
correct.
The first month is not that hard.
Yes.
Joe, can you look up what's the updated line right now in week one in Lambeau? Because I know it like opened at like 8 or something like that.
Yeah, last time I checked it was 8, but I will double check.
Let's just not lose sight of that. Like the Bears are big underdogs no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So to make some grand conclusion off of this,
You can't make a grand conclusion off to 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah. All right, let's
cut some people.
Yeah, let's Here, this is we'll try to make a roster. That was a good. That was a good.
Pretty
sound
good, right, huh?
It's almost like we were playing a sound effect.
No.
Where should we start? Quarterback?
Oh, that's easy.
All three make it?
Yeah. Chase Daniel's your starter, according to that one caller.
Yeah. Chase,
can I just say something about that?
Quarterback controversy.
Look, Chase Daniel is, he's what, in his 9th or 10th year? Yeah, he's supposed to look good in the preseason. Just saying. But yes, Trubisky and Chase Daniel, they cut Tyler Bray.
You think they cut Bray? That was my question. Yes. They keep all three. You don't think they keep him around because they love him?
They could call him anytime they want.
That was going to be my argument. I can't see Tyler Bray getting picked up.
No.
By another team.
No.
So I think if, God forbid, Mitch Trubisky gets hurt and they need to go get a backup, I think Tyler Bray is going to be available. So I agree with you. I think Bray ends up getting...
And I think you just have too many injured pieces on the back end of your roster. Mm-hmm. Guys that you kind of want to keep, and we'll get to them. But you need that roster spot right now. I think you do. So two quarterbacks, Trubisky and Daniel.
All right, running back, Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham, all make it.
Yeah, what do you do with the fourth? Do you keep a fourth? Michael Burton? Now, Nagy used the fullback for the Chiefs last year, but that fullback also was a special team stalwart.
I think Burton does make it because I think Ryan Pace likes him too.
You know he lives with Trubisky?
Yeah, I think Michael Burton. So
four.
Mizell's out. Ryan Nall, practice squad.
Ryan Nall's a clear-cut candidate for the practice squad. I think he could be a player. I think he could be a valuable piece, special teams, third down back, receiving option maybe down the road. I would try to stash him.
Okay. Niall Davis has been returning kicks.
Okay, that's fine.
I think just a minute. Just because someone has to do it. Okay. So we're keeping Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham, Michael Burton as the fullback.
Gotcha.
I'm down with that. All right, wide receivers gotten interesting. This is... I know they haven't played any games yet, but is Ryan Pace going to get any credit for what he's done with the wide receivers this offseason?
You know, he called it. He called it, too.
He crushed them last year how bad that situation was.
And then he goes out and says that that's a position I feel like he can overhaul pretty quickly. And sure enough, holy moly. It's a bit different. Golly. Got that soundbite still? No.
I do, somewhere. He's somewhere. I don't know if I can still find it, but there it is.
Golly.
How do you think he feels looking at the Bears receiving corps?
I think he thinks he could have used those guys last year.
Oh, yes. Golly.
Yeah. Okay. Any chance Kevin White's traded? We've seen a lot of trades around the league the last couple days.
There are some wide receiver needy teams. Jacksonville Jaguars could use a wide receiver. You know why? They played one of their top ones in the third preseason game, and now he's out with a knee injury.
Okay. Yeah. Marquise Lee.
Yes.
Out for the year.
Yes.
The Browns got a 2020 seventh round pick for Coleman, who was also a first round pick.
Right. And Coleman's got a lot more issues than Kevin White does, in my opinion. Might be a little bit more talent, or at least have shown a little bit more talent. I'm not sure. But guys get traded for 6th, 7th round pick season.
Yes.
This really aren't not any major trades, but there's a lot of these. There was one earlier today, the Ravens Correa, right? We saw a few weeks ago, he got traded to the Titans for, I think, a 6th-round pick.
Ryan Switzer just got traded for the second time in his career.
So
different type of receiver, but still a receiver and a punt return.
Well, let's operate punt under returner. They're not going to cut Kevin White. I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's say
no trades.
Let's operate under the... But that's... I wanted to bring that up because that could change the situation. Let's operate under he's not getting traded. So Allen Robinson is obviously on the team. Taylor Gabriel's on the team. Anthony Miller's on the team. Kevin White is on the team. So that's four.
Javon Wims is on the team.
I think so, too.
He's different than your undrafted splash in the pan guy. He's shown too much.
Yeah, the caller brought up Gentry and what happened last year. First of all, he's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. He's good.
He's beating ones and twos in preseason games. So I don't think, again, considering the wide receiver needy teams out there, I don't think they'll be able to stash a Javon Wims.
I am interested to see how this... I'm not totally convinced that he's as good as he's looked in the preseason. We've fallen into that trap many times. Yeah. I want to see how it transfers to the regular season, but I do think this is different than, you know, your Daniel Bravermans and your Dane Sonsenbachers and Tanner Gentrys. So
the question here to me is, do you keep six? That six being Josh Bellamy. Do you really need him? Should we leave the spot open there?
We can leave that. Yeah.
Let's leave it open.
We'll leave it open. Marlon Brown has looked good at times, but probably out. There's just too much young talent. To me, that's a guy you signed in case some of these young guys didn't emerge the way they have.
Right.
So, DeMarcus Ayers is also out.
We could just move on.
Yeah. Benny Fowler.
Yeah, he's gone.
Significant cut.
Yeah. Tanner Gentry, maybe practice squad again. But again, there's wide receiver needy teams out there.
Okay. So I will keep an eye on Josh Bellamy as we go along, because that's ultimately just a special teams decision if they keep him. Tight end position, Trey Burton, Deion Sims, Adam Shaheen. What's going on with Adam Shaheen?
Now, Nagy kind of ruled out injured reserve. What's the ruling again?
He said, I don't think so.
They have to put him on IR right now.
He also didn't think anyone broke a bone after that game in Denver. He also said, I don't think so, when asked if there was a fracture.
Oh, and there was.
And it turned out to be a fracture.
Very good point. So with Shaheen, what's the rule? They have to put him on IR now in order for him to be a candidate to return, correct?
No, I think they changed that rule.
So
I think you can put him on
at any point.
At any point, and
you might be right,
and bring him back.
Okay,
now.
All right,
yeah.
So he is, even if he does go on IR, yes, he's got to miss a certain amount of weeks, but he would be a clear cut candidate to return. Still has a role on this team. He's not going anywhere. I think he still plays this season. I don't know when though.
So do we have to? We probably have to operate under the he's on this roster too.
Yes. And I think you're keeping five, Adam.
Five. Ooh,
I think you're keeping five.
With Shaheen doubtful for week one, probably.
Yeah.
So we're really only cutting Colin Thompson then. Ben Broniker, Daniel Brown make it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of tight ends. But you might be right.
But you know, Brown and Broniker are kind of core special teamers.
Yeah. Okay. That brings us to the offensive line. Earl Watford was cut the other day. Were you surprised by that?
No. Well, I don't know why some people were. Why? Really?
Well, only because he's been taking first team reps.
Yeah, that's fine. But usually they do that to see whether or not the guy could really play. And they feel comfortable with others. All right, Cody White here, Kyle Long, Charles Leno Jr., Bobby Massey, James Daniels, and Eric Kusher. And what's that, seven?
Mm-hmm. Usually you keep nine.
Okay. Bradley Sowell's got a sprained ankle. Rashad Coward played every snap against the Chiefs. And Jordan Morgan. What are you doing?
Jordan Morgan showed me nothing. Are you just assuming Hronis Gershue's definitely out?
Yes.
I think so, too. They're preaching versatility. They got, here's guys who can play center. Cody Whitehair, Eric Kush, James Daniels.
Yes.
No. Why do you need a guy who can only play center?
Right, no, he's done. He's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't add up there.
Great guy, great locker room guy. But he's had trouble staying available, as
right.
they say.
So, I mean, I think they like Rashad Coward from a developmental standpoint. He's played pretty well. He had that one bad play on Saturday. But he's played a lot of football over the last month and has really stood out.
What I would do is I keep Bradley Sowell because he could be your swing tackle. Yes, he's got a bum ankle right now. But you keep Coward as well, just in case you need him week one, right?
Okay.
So you waive Jordan Morgan. You put him back on the practice squad. If you still think he could be something down the line, now he is a small school type of guy, give him the time again. Give him some time.
Well, right now we only have eight anyway.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, we're at 8.
So you might be able to keep Jordan Morgan anyway.
Yeah. I'd say you go with 8 and try to stash Jordan Morgan on the practice squad.
So you only keep 8. With the versatility, that's where that allows you to do that.
Yes, it does.
So I think I'm with you on that one. And that could make it easier to keep a guy like Josh Bellamy, six wide receivers.
Yes.
And five tight ends.
How many guys are we at right now?
Oh.
25 players there?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll add it up as we go along here.
Okay.
But that's the offensive side. So defense.
We're going to start up front line.
Yep.
Keem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Roy Robertson-Harris, Jonathan Bullard, Bilal Nichols. It's pretty easy. It's five.
What about John Jenkins?
What do you think?
Because you don't really have a backup nose tackle if you don't keep John Jenkins.
I get it. But you're also in sub a lot.
Yeah. I think that's a question. Might have to come back to that. See how many roster spots we have.
Okay. So you got those five.
Yeah. So Keem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Jonathan Bullard, Bilal Nichols, Roy Robertson-Harris for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about that. And then I think it's really, it might actually be Nick Williams or John Jenkins.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about Nick Williams. Okay, so let's go outside linebacker then. Leonard Floyd, Sam Acho. Is there any chance that Aaron Lynch is
here? No. Did you hear Matt Nagy's answer on him yesterday? He basically said he's on the team.
Boy, I hope he can actually play.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him.
I get the rationale. There's experience there. That you're still counting on, that Vic Fangio specifically is still counting on. So I think in that case, you're deferring to Fangio, knowing at least him believing that he could get something rekindled, reignited out of Aaron Lynch.
So are you going to keep six outside linebackers?
This is interesting.
Because Kasim Edebali has looked good. He's a guy that Ryan Pace singled out in our conversation with him last week.
Yes.
Kylie Fitz.
Well, Kylie Fitz, I think, is making it.
Just because he's a draft pick.
Yes. That helps his cause.
Because he's...
And I think he's been just as good as an Isaiah Irvin.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So the draft pick thing gives him the edge, per se.
That's a lot of outside linebackers.
Well, you need him because Leonard Floyd has a baseball glove in his hand.
But he's still going to play most of the game. All right, so we're keeping six there.
Are you keeping six?
I mean, Sam Acho, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Lynch... Isaiah Irving, Kasim Edebali, Kylie Fitz. Are you cutting Edebali?
You're cutting Isaiah Irving. Can you put him back on the practice squad? You can. He's eligible.
Yeah.
Will he clear?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure which one of those two is going to go, but you're probably only keeping five.
Yes.
So one of those two is probably out. Inside linebacker. Danny Trevathan, Nick Kwiatkowski, Roquan Smith. Iggy? Safe?
Yeah.
Okay, that's four.
I mean, he hasn't shown much, but again, it's a draft pick thing. He was, what, fourth round pick?
Yeah. So it's John. Are we keeping four? Or?
Well, if you're keeping five, I don't know if Iggy's proven himself as a special teams, reliable special teams player. John Timu has. Jonathan Anderson has. But Timu has the edge in terms of, well, he comes on the field first if Nick Kwiatkowski or Roquan Smith can't play.
Yeah.
So if you keep him five, there's your five. Trevathan, Smith, Kwiatkowski. Let's try this. EA Beniwe? I got it.
EA Beniwe.
Oh, okay. Fine. Correct me. Anyway, John Timu.
You're keeping Timu?
Yeah, five.
You're keeping five guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara, corner, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper?
You think so?
I think he's out.
Okay.
He better be.
Okay. So Fuller, Amukamara, Callahan, Sherrick McManus, and Craven LeBlanc. That's five, right?
That's five.
You end it right there?
Try to get Tolliver to your practice squad?
Yeah. Michael Joseph, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, you're probably keeping five.
I think the question is there, do you need six cornerbacks and Cooper being the guy who play in special teams?
He can't play corner. He's bad. I'm sorry.
Okay. Fine.
I think five. Fuller, Prince, Callahan, LeBlanc, Sherrick.
Okay. You better get those two guys back on your practice squad then, though.
Well, what have they shown that...
No, because you need somebody to back him up. You need somebody to call
up. But who's going to claim him and put him on the 53?
You never know.
Sure. I don't think
so. That's a good point.
And then the safety position is a little interesting. What happens with DeAndre Houston Carson? I mean, he's got a broken arm.
He's got a broken arm, but he doesn't think it's an IR situation. He's not in a cast or anything.
But is he good enough to hold a spot on the 53?
Like, do you think the forearm injury would scare people away? I think he's a good special teamer.
I don't think anyone's signing him hurt. No way. No, the question is he good enough?
Well, you already have the DeAndre Hall situation. You could cut DeAndre Hall. No one's going to pick him up for week one. Bring him back.
That's a good point.
I keep four. I keep Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, Deion Bush, and DeAndre Houston Carson.
Well, let's put it this way. I think there's going to be four no matter how it works out, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we're going four safeties, five corners.
I kind of like DeAndre Hall, by the way. I like the nastiness he's kind of bringing. You know, he's like a bigger version of Josh Bellamy.
Can you depend on him, though?
What do you mean? I'm not talking about him being a reserve. Reserve safety is one thing. He's a reserve. But I think he could bring something to special teams.
Character's been a point of emphasis, though, for Ryan Pace.
Okay.
And Matt Nagy. This guy has now been in a bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
Was tased when he got arrested. And now he's suspended.
Only one game, by the way.
Which is odd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just...
I get your point.
You wonder if there's something else going on there. That's my point.
Yes. All right, how many players do we got?
I'm trying to add that up right now.
Special teams, by the way, Cody Parkey, Pat O'Donnell, Patrick Scales.
If we keep six defensive linemen, we have 25 on defense.
Okay.
Well, we'll get to special teams. Well, special teams is three.
Yeah, Parkey, O'Donnell, Scales.
Okay, so now I got to add up the offensive guys. Two quarterbacks. How many running backs did we say?
Four.
Four running backs.
Five receivers.
And?
Eight offensive linemen. Five tight ends.
Okay. So it's nine.
Do you need a calculator 11, over there?
19. That's 24.
I'm impressed you're doing this by hand. Not that you can't do it, but, you know, technology's come a long way.
49 plus 3 is 52. We actually have one roster spot open. That's our clincher right there, dude. Six wide receivers with Bellamy. That makes it 53.
Okay. So you secure your...
As I've been saying, you can keep six wide receivers.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. The six has to be a core special teamer, and Josh Bellamy is that.
If you're going to talk this much about versatile offensive linemen, then I think you're trying to keep eight, which is low. I mean, usually you keep nine or even 10.
Yeah. But if you still like Jordan Morgan, you still see him as the developmental guy, you can waive him. You can get him on your practice squad. I'm almost certain you could do that.
Yeah, he hasn't shown me enough.
No. Who's going to sign him? Again, to your point, when we start talking about cutting guys and losing guys, the question, who's going to sign him to his 53?
That's the thing. You have to, for those that don't realize, if you're going to claim a guy on waivers, you have to put them on your 53-man roster. So you're taking a guy that the other team believes is not good enough to be on their 53, and they're trying to get him to the practice squad, and you're putting them on your 53.
Correct. Now, if they clear...
Which, we cannot forget, it is very likely the Bears do that with someone.
Oh,
It happens almost every year. There is probably a player, maybe he's on the Broncos, that happened with Kravon LeBlanc a few years ago, a couple years ago, in New England. He was with New England all training camp. Pace saw him in New England, claimed him. He's been on the Bears.
They're the Harold Jones Quarty.
That's true.
Is that one too?
I think so.
But he was claimed off waivers, put on the 53.
Right. Our guy.
Yeah. So Pace has a history of this.
Yeah. So
there you have
it. I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
HJQ.
Is he out of the league now? I think he's on some.
He's probably on some team now.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will be after this week.
No. But, hey, Bears listen to this. Laid it all out for him.
We just did it.
Easy.
We just did it.
Are you surprised with the numbers crunch that more teams don't try to get a kicker that can also punt? Or are those two so different that they, you know, you actually need a specialist at each spot?
I've thought about that before.
I've always thought about that with long snapper. Like your fifth tight end.
Yeah, you can't have another guy on your team that knows how to long snap.
Like that reserve offensive lineman. Now, I know you don't need a 285 or 300-pound guy running down there to cover kicks. But, yeah, like one of your extra tight ends. Maybe one of your extra outside linebackers because he's got, you know, the similar physical makeups.
Well, you need those guys to block, too.
I know.
Yeah, but John Timo can't long snap. Come on, man.
I know. I'm with you. Hey, my cousin played safety. He was a long snapper in high school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't like the kicker thing. Yeah, you need a kicker, and I think you need a punter. I think they've completely just, they're not even the same conversation anymore. But
well, you think long snapper, you'd think there'd be a guy who could do both.
Yeah. You know who the Bears' backup long snapper is, right?
The backup long snapper?
Mm-hmm. No, not the guy on the roster. The guy on the real roster.
Not the guy on the roster. The guy on the real roster.
Yeah, the guy who's going to be in the 53.
Who is it?
Trey Burton.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. See? But there you go. You know, he's too valuable to do that every week or five times a game, whatever it is. But yes, I would think that maybe one day, you would think the Patriots would have that type of versatility in their fifth outside linebacker.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Should we pick some games here, finally?
Oh, yeah, fine.
Oh, it's good to play that music again. College football is back.
There are good games.
You know, I got home from the Bears game on Saturday, and there was live college football on my TV. It actually started last week.
Division two, right?
No, it was D1. There were four D1 games last weekend.
Yeah, I was locked in on Hawaii, Colorado State.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't see that, yes.
And then Wyoming beat New Mexico State or something like that?
Yippee.
It's all right.
And just going back a little bit, the Bears-Packers line is still at 8. There's a few places where you can get 8.5 or 9, but 8's the most common number.
25 snaps. What a change that.
Oh, yeah. Probably brought it down to 4. Trubisky played on Saturday. All right. Let's start with a Thursday night game. First of all, I love the first weekend of college football because you got good games on Friday. You got games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah.
They just
take over the weekend.
They take over the whole weekend because there's no NFL. So there's a good game Sunday night. There's a good game Monday night. We'll start Thursday night. Game I'll be at. It finally happened, by the way. It was bound to happen. But Northwestern, the Bears, and the White Sox all play at the exact same time on Thursday night. And they have
your three worlds collide.
Yeah, they
so
have.
You're going to be in Northwestern?
I will be in West Lafayette, where Northwestern is playing Purdue.
Gotta much be rather covering that than this fourth thing.
Hell yes.
It's not even a game.
It is the season opener for the Wildcats. I'm excited to be there and not at Soldier Field.
Okay. Okay.
Enjoy the... is Josh Allen even going to play? Probably not.
Ooh, I don't know. Did he have a concussion or not?
He had something.
He left the game
the other day.
You don't want to see that. Their offensive line is brutal. Brutal.
Wait, did you just say that their key rookie quarterback got hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, in a preseason game?
Third one.
Oh.
Third one.
Okay.
So, what's the scoop there, man?
All right,
who's playing QB for the Wildcats?
Purdue is a 2-point favorite.
Uh-huh.
It's a 7 p.m. Central Time. I think technically 7:06 because Coach Fitz keeps saying, you will find out who's the starting quarterback. It's 7:06 on Thursday night. It's on ESPN, by the way. Kirk Herbstreit's calling this game.
Yeah.
Be a good one. Here's the absolute truth. I do not know who's playing quarterback.
What type of sideline reporter are you?
Well, I'll know
at 7:06. Whoever
at 7:06,
walks out there,
and I'll report it on the sidelines.
Okay.
Let me put it this way: I'd be surprised if Clayton doesn't play.
Yeah,
Clayton. Northwestern's been putting out social media videos, and they really haven't been shying away from the fact that he's healthy. Clayton said yesterday in his press conference that he's been pretty much doing everything in practice. He happens to be pretty good at quarterback. So now, will they protect him a little bit? Will he play the whole game? I think they feel good about TJ Green, their backup. It'll be interesting. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to play out. I do know that I think Purdue at one point was a 4-point favorite. Now down to 2.
It's that tweet they sent out where they had all the oars at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That's what moved the line.
It may have.
Their depth chart.
I think Northwestern's a better team than Purdue.
Yeah, oh yes.
Purdue's taking a step backwards on defense this year. They lost a lot of guys off their front seven. Northwestern's replacing Justin Jackson with Jeremy Larkin. This is the best offensive line Northwestern's had in a long time. They should be able to run the football in this game. Now, of course, the wild card is it's the first game of the year. Purdue's headed in the right direction. Their fans are excited. I haven't been to a game at Purdue where there's actually fans there, and I think they're supposed to be. So it could be a good atmosphere and a tough environment to actually play in Thursday night. But I'm going to go off of what I see on paper, and especially with Northwestern getting the 2 points, I'm going with the Cats.
I'm picking the Cats, too, because I believe Thorson will play. I think he's going to have a great year. Not a Heisman Trophy winning year, but in NFL, I'm on your radar type of year.
Okay.
Yeah, rooting for him. Give me the Cats.
Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Northwestern is, I don't know. It's unfortunate that this is a Big Ten game to start the season at night on the road. I think that any other situation, like if it was, you know, they were facing a MAC school or whatever.
Or even if they were playing Purdue in 2 weeks from
right
at 11 a.m.
It would be Clayton Thorson, you know, kind of maybe feeling his way out. But that, since this is a game that they need to win, I think they might be rushing Thorson back a little bit. I'm not super confident because I don't know much about Purdue, but I think that, like I said, night game, Thursday night, they're just out of their rhythm a little bit, and Purdue wins close, but covers the spread.
Purdue wins?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to take
Purdue.
Oh. I don't know anything about TJ Green, and since I don't know that Thorson is playing or not, I don't know. I guess I'm taking the home team.
TJ Green is the son of Trent Green.
Really? I didn't know that.
Looks just like him.
Yeah?
It's funny. Looks just like him. So, some pro pedigree there. By the way, Hunter Johnson, the kid they got from Clemson, the transfer, he's pretty good. But that's next year. That's next year. All right, we'll move to Saturday. Sure, Joe's got his eyes on this game. What are you going to be doing, Joe, on Saturday night? It's number 14, Michigan, goes to number 12, Notre Dame. The Irish, a one-point favorite. It's a 6:30 night game at Notre Dame Stadium on NBC.
Joe, what do you think? You should go first.
Yeah, I'll actually be at my nephew's birthday party, third birthday party. I might have to bail early. Like, as he's opening the presents, I'll be like, yo, gotta
Yay!
Go.
Wait, give me that piece of cake.
yeah, cake for the road. You know, Michigan hasn't won a game on the road against a ranked opponent since 2006.
Good stat.
And, you know, Shea Patterson, for as much as being the number one dual threat quarterback coming out a couple years ago, transferring into Michigan this year, he hasn't really shown it on the field yet. And, you know, he played defenses like Bama last year and struggled. I'm confident about Michigan for the season, but to go just like Northwestern, to go on the road at Notre Dame Saturday night in a pick 'em game, I'm going to go with the Irish just because it's in their place, and Shea hasn't done enough to prove me wrong, I guess. So,
Joe, I'm going with the Irish too. But let me ask you a question. I feel like, why hasn't Jim Harbaugh figured out his quarterback situation? Why hasn't he established like a consistent offense? I know he had Andrew Luck. I know he had his quarterbacks in San Francisco too, but I feel like this is a persistent storyline with him and his quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think that in, you know, this is his, what, fourth year as the head coach of Michigan, and this is the second time he's coming in and having a transfer as a starting quarterback, which is, you know, not a great sign. But I do think that it's getting better. I think that the, you know, Brandon Peters would have been a lot better with the offensive line, and Dylan McCaffrey is a guy who has shown athleticism. It's a good group, but it's a young group, and I can't really defend him as far as the quarterback position, but I think that as the offense, you know, simplifies itself and the offensive line gets better by growing, I think, you know, you'll start to see some progression in the quarterback position this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Notre Dame, too. I think that Michigan has too many question marks here to figure out so quickly with a tough road spot in week one. Notre Dame was good at home last year, had some struggles on the road. But, you know, I remember that, go back to that week two game against Georgia, the one game they lost at home last year was their only home loss. And Well, Georgia ended up being a national title game. They were pretty good, as it turned out. And that was a one-point game. It came right down to the wire. I don't think Michigan is that good. I think this is a relatively close game. I think it'll be a fun game to watch, but coming down to 1 point, I'm taking the Irish.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
What are we doing, locks?
Well, we only have three games.
Okay.
But I'm willing to lock
it. I want to lock up the cats, then.
You're locking the caddy?
Yeah.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
My son calls them the Purple Ends. We're rooting for the Purple Ends.
Okay. Do you have a pick for this Notre Dame game?
I already picked Notre Dame. Pay attention over there. Get off your phone.
I just don't take your college football picks seriously, so I just tune in.
And yet we still do them.
Well, because Joe and I take them seriously. All right, number eight, Miami.
I'm just going to sit out the rest of the segment.
Facey, we only got one more game. It'll be more fun next week when we got NFL games. Unless you want to start picking fourth preseason games. People actually gamble on these things.
I know.
How about all those people that jumped on the Chiefs after the Bears announced?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The line swung like a touchdown, and everyone was going with the Chiefs. And
how'd Chase that, Daniel, burn y'all.
How'd that work out? Number eight, Miami, facing number 25, LSU, in Arlington, Texas. So a neutral site game. It's a Sunday night game. This will be a fun one to watch. 6:30.
A really neutral site game. Not even close to either play. I guess Louisiana's kind of close.
Kind of close, but... Yeah.
It's a long trip for the U.
Well, I mean, a couple years ago, I think Wisconsin played Alabama in this game.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah, so. But Wisconsin historically travels well. Does the U? I don't think they do.
Oh, they might for this game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, Miami's a 3.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much. Miami. Not getting some insightful analysis here, my friend.
Yeah, this is look, Miami came on the scene a little bit quicker than we thought last year. Then they tailed off right at the end of the year. LSU ends up losing to Notre Dame in the bowl game. You know they're going to be competitive here, but yeah, there's not really a home field advantage here at all. I'm going to take the Hurricanes. Joe?
Yeah, like you said, there's no home field advantage, but I do like Miami's defense. They're not going to be as good as last year. They're not going to force as many turnovers, but the turnover chain will be at, where's it at? The Jerry Dome?
At the Jerry Dome, yep. Yeah.
So the turnover chain will be there, and the transfer quarterback will throw at least two interceptions. I am taking the Miami Hurricanes, and you can lock that bad boy up.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Yeah, I think LSU's quarterback came from Ohio State.
Yep, that's why he's throwing two picks.
Oh, so this is just bitterness from Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, yep, basically. 100%.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too. I have plenty of Ohio State bitterness.
Well, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, that does it for... do a quick three college games here for you this week. Next week, we'll have NFL games for you. How does that sound?
It feels good.
That does feel good.
It's been a long preseason, my man.
Oh my God, yeah. It has.
Long camp.
So, we'll be a little bit of a longer break in between podcasts here, because I got to do one after I won't even be there Thursday, so yeah. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We'll be back next week with our usual preview episode on Thursday morning. That's how we do it during the regular season. We'll have your picks. We'll break it down. Bears and Packers.
Packers week, man.
Be fun.
Be excited. Football's here. Real football.
Real football. Real football. But some people want to sit the starters against Green Bay, too. It works
pretty
well.
People said that on Twitter. Why even play the games?
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
It's exhausting. Like I said, 4 weeks from now, we're not going to be talking about this at all.
No, gosh, I
guarantee
it.
I guarantee it. And if we are, there's bigger problems than anything that would have been fixed in 25 snaps on Saturday. All right, that's going to do it for us. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Read us WGNRadio.com, ChicagoSunTimes.com as well. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy Labor Day weekend.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey, Joey Jojo!